Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In a world where Carolina Panthers fans have an insatiable thirst for Panthers news and opinions, only one podcast roars ferociously. It's the C3 Panthers Podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's the C3 Panthers Podcast, brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. My name's Tony Dunn. Here, chopping up the latest Panthers news and opinions with my homeboys, Cody Lashney. How you doing, my friend?
Tony Dunn, I'm so much better after that intro, baby. Oh, my God. You know there's no place I'd rather be on a Tuesday night than with my homeboys and the best Panther fans on YouTube breaking it down. Tony Dunn, brother, ain't nothing to it but to do it, baby. Let's roll.
CK, man, nice to have you on the show, you and your beautiful self and your beautiful voice.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. Tonight's show is, good news, folks. We don't have a ton to talk about, which means we will be here all night. No. It is tonight's show is episode 19.22, 22nd show of the season. Smitty Heels, Salty Tears, and Past Fears is your episode tonight. We're going to be talking about Smitty's inauguration into the Panthers Hall. Shout out. We've got some other things. We got to talk about Cam Newton and last year and what we're going to be expecting to see in this all-in series. They keep teasing it. We're excited. A lot of sad news on tonight's show as well. Passing of a Panther legend and a fan, as well as some tragedy of a former Panthers fan, a Panthers player. And then we got to talk about the salty, salty D'Angelo Williams. All that plus more on the C3 Panthers Podcast. You can be a part of the show. Call into the Cat Calls line. The number is 252-228-5098. That is 252-228-5098. Thanks for joining us in the chat room on YouTube. Shout out to all of y'all. I know that you guys are here each and every week making this conversation better, and you can continue to help this grow this conversation by smashing that thumbs up button, subscribing, and telling a friend about the show. Let's go ahead and jump into that show. I think, Cody, to me, I want to start on, well, actually, I do. I think we should rest in peace, Catman, the most famous Panther fan of all. The gentleman with the blue hair who was always down in the front, on the, like, they featured him on the broadcast each and every week. 62 years old, passed away. Catman, rest in peace. You know, it's sad to hear of anybody's passing. 62 is a young, fresh age, and we're sorry that he left us too early. But you know, on the good note, legend among Panther fans, the most famous Panther fan.
Yeah, the most famous Panther fan. Listen, you know, we're still such a relatively new team that the fact that we even had diehard fans like him for as long as we've had, is pretty incredible. And he was one of the OGs, man. I mean, he's been a fan of this team through thick and thin. Everyone knows him. They've seen his picture. Fans know him. I mean, listen, that guy had keep pounding in his blood. I mean, I don't know what else you could say. Rest in peace to the Cat Man. This next season, we got to bring it home for him, man. When Cam Newton is raising that Vince Lombardi trophy, we'll have a nod to our Cat Man, and we can dedicate that to him.
His name was Greg Good. And boy, was he a good Panthers fan. He's been, you know, Ron Rivera even and put a nod is that it's fun. Well, I won't say it's fun to see, but it's nice to see someone who their personal legacy and identity can be tied to something that we all cherish. Like, we all want ourselves in some way to our DNA to be part of this team. And he did it in an authentic way, and the Panthers recognized how visually appropriate was. I mean, it's just a really cool story. Greg Good passed away at 62. Rest in peace. Boy, CK, when it comes to being a fan, there's a lot of investment that we give. Each and every person, we put in emotional investment, time, energy. But you can tell sometimes there is this next level of that. And to me, Greg Catman Good has superseded all of us in that way. And I mean, I don't even feel like I deserve any accolades, but that is, it's a, like his DNA is part of the Panthers team is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, obviously when you think about the epitome of a fan, I mean, I think he's always been the one that pops in people's minds when they think about the diehard Panthers fan. And as you said, as Panthers fans to a relatively newer team, we feel like we can make we can be a part of it in ways that other teams maybe you're not able to. And I think he did a great job in actually making sure he was a part of the Panthers history and a part of that embodiment of what Sam Mills meant with keep pounding, showing up every single game, regardless of what health issues you have going on. He made it an effort.
Or if we were good or bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
2-14.
Really? Yeah. I mean, just here's the thing is that if you are any Panther fan who has watched the television broadcast, you have seen him.
Oh yeah.
That's what the optics for him is, that if you walk past him in the stadium, you know exactly who he is. The Catman. Rest in peace. You know, sad story, but Panther Nation supporting our brethren. You know, just keep pounding prayers to his family. Let's move on next to this, though, is something better, Cody, is that the most I kind of sobbed up the other way. You got a sad story on one hand, a happy story, a fulfilling story on the other hand. The cherry on top when it comes to the Panthers Hall.
Yes.
Was inaugurated this past week in Steve Smith. And we can sit here and we can argue, is he the greatest Panther or not? And we're splitting hairs in that argument. And that is a great, that means that that man, if he ain't the greatest, he is damn right on the tails of it. I think right now, best offensive player in the history of the team, arguably best career with the team. We could split hairs over some of the other people's credentials. But, Cody, I got chills watching this video and thinking back on Steve Smith's career.
Yeah, Steve Smith was incredible, by far the best Panther wide receiver that we've ever had. And, you know, after we drafted DJ Moore, we said, you know, Steve Smith said that after they lost me, they've never been able to replace me. And he was telling the truth. And we got a little something.
The first interaction I remember with Steve was in college because we were at Utah together. You guys think Steve
clips
was crazy
from the hall video
the field as a pro, man, in college. It was nuts. Steve was such a competitor on the field. I remember we had one game we played at New Mexico and they had Urlacher on their team. And Steve ran back a punt literally with one shoe on for a touchdown, and he juked Urlacher for the score with one shoe on.
The acceleration, the burst, the physical strength that Steve Smith had, his jumping ability, all those things, you know, you can see on tape.
Something about Utah, right, Steve Smith? Third round pick, so not like the focal point of the draft class at that point, by any means. A rookie playing in his first game in the NFL, not viewed as more than a rotational wide receiver guy, special teams player, and takes the opening kickoff in Minnesota back for a touchdown.
The rookie Smith from his 7-yard line, cutting outside 30, there he goes! Smith is gone! The rookie on his first touch as a professional, all the way for a touchdown!
From that point
that
on,
that sound familiar?
Show. I mean, if a player by himself single-handedly, Steve Smith pretty much did it.
Got him right where we want him. Yeah, overtime on the road.
As we start overtime quarter number two. Smith at the 45 to the 40.
It's
breaks
over.
Free. It's 20.
St. Louis played a lot of cover two, which the safety would lean outside.
Listen to this.
So you try to make the safety look like a clown by banging the post.
Make the safety look like a clown.
They were starting to jump our
I love it,
so Jake
dude.
Did a good job.
It's so disrespectful.
So we were able to get the time and get that route off. Takes a minute. So our O-line did a great job. Steve ran a great route. Jake dropped a dime for a walk-off overtime win. That play was as well-executed as any plays really in the history of the NFL.
What happened between you and Tlaib on the field early in the game?
I don't know. You go ask him because he didn't finish the game. Ice up, son.
Ice up, son.
A swagger, a confidence in Steve Smith and that passion. It's hard to find in human beings. But I'm telling you, you will not find a human being more competitive than Steve Smith.
My emotion was part of my game. Some people say when you get emotional, you lose your focus. But for me, if you got me upset, my focus became more and more narrow.
You know, even in pregame, he'd be looking at the opponent. You know, he would gear himself up. I've not seen a player in my career that was as competitive as he was.
Anytime you've doubted Steven or given him a reason to be motivated, he took that reason and he used it.
Try me if you want to!
Because he wouldn't accept mediocrity. He just refused. If you weren't going hard, he was going to challenge you.
He had a way of finding out if you were a guy, if you were going to go out there and do your job and play hard.
If you didn't get the job done, it would get you out of here. You either work your butt off or you get comfortable and get your walking papers.
We were both pretty darn competitive. We played to win, and that's it. And obviously, Steve's the same way. We respected each other. We never, ever jumped each other's behind on the field. If I missed him on a pass, he never berated me like a lot of these diva receivers do.
You could throw 50 interceptions, but you're still my guy.
He brought a passion. Off the field, on the field, everywhere Steve went, he brings up passion as an analyst today. And that's something that I love Steve Smith for.
God, I love Steve Smith. It turns out that I love him just the same. I'm not going to let the last moments of his interactions with the Carolina Panthers dampen anything about it. In fact, I'm bringing this back up. I want to know, is there a bigger personnel blunder in the history of the Carolina Panthers than releasing Steve Smith in 2014 to save $3 million? I don't buy this bullshit from Gettleman that with Steve Smith in the locker room, Cam Newton could not grow. How do you hear all of these greats talk so admirably about him? In that case, he's a man. He knows how to figure out if you're a man, as Ron Rivera said. Oh, I get excited. He is the most electric Carolina Panther until we had Cam Newton, and that's it. Conversation over.
Far and away. And you know, one of the things that we've learned about David Gettleman since his time in Carolina came to an end and with New York, he does not value a true number one receiver very well.
Or
he just
receivers,
shipped out,
period.
He just shipped out Odell
he doesn't
Beckham.
He doesn't
he just
value
out Odell
small
Beckham.
Guys.
Listen,
he looked at his
imagine,
height and he said
imagine
no.
If Cam Newton had Steve Smith as a weapon in 2015. I mean, maybe it would have made the difference. Maybe not. We don't know. We'll never know. But I know one thing. Having a dependable option to be able to throw the ball to down the field and you know that he's going to beat the coverage. I mean, that's Steve Smith, man. A number one wide receiver, you know, it may not be a necessity or a necessity. Cam Newton in 2015 showed you that. But what you do need is a dependable target that the Cam Newton or that Cam Newton knows that he can go to time and time again, and he has not had that in forever. And man, it's so incredibly valuable. And Steve Smith is hands down the best receiver that has ever put on the uniform for the Carolina Panthers. And until DJ Moore or Curtis Samuel proves otherwise, no one has.
They don't even have an opportunity. Like, they ain't gonna sniff Steve Smith jockstrap until they get a triple crown. He's a legend. He's legendary. The guys in the chat room are saying this. Josh Ramass, imagine that 2015 with Smitty. CK, I put this out here. I got chills watching this video when I watched it and today. And on top of that, I started tweeting about my memories of Smitty. And what I put out there was what I just said. Is there a bigger personnel blunder in the history of the Carolina Panthers than releasing Steve Smith to save $5? And that's what we ultimately did. Let me put this out there, is that we cut him to save $3 million. And this is in 2013, we did it, or 2014 season. We then drafted a rookie in Kelvin Benjamin to just step in and do it. And while he had an admirable 900 yards or whatever it was, is that we know that Steve Smith goes on to have gas in the tank. And on top of that, you got to go and sign another veteran. And even if you sign him at a veteran $1.5 million, you're saving pennies at this point to pay Steve Smith to go away. He goes and punishes you for it. Steve Smith was electric as a Carolina Panther. CK, when we talk about what Steve Smith was as a player, what do you think of? What do you think of in the I'm trying not to just place him in the pantheon of the Panthers, because that's an easy conversation. He's at the top. But what he meant for a team with limited talent, and he still did what he did. I continue to say this. We screwed Steve Smith by making him play for the Panthers from 2009 to 2011.
I mean, you can't disagree with that statement. But the one thing I'll say is the top five Panthers memories outside of the 2015 season – name one that doesn't involve a team that has Steve Smith on it, you know? Like, it just
that's a great way of putting it. That's a great way of putting it. He was fucking dog. A dog. Yeah. The meanest dog in the yard.
And you wanted that aggression, man. You wanted that, pardon my French, that fuck you attitude on the field. It's like, we're going to the end zone, and I don't really care what your opinion on the matter is. Like, we're going that way, dog. And listen, man, I mean, we have a whole segment. The longest segment in C3 history is dedicated from the words of Steve Smith himself. The man is a legend, dude. I mean, he has that little man complex. But, dude, that little man would whoop your ass, son. Yeah, I mean, just badass. And that type of bravado for days, man. Incredible player.
CK, first thing. I say Steve Smith, first memory.
First, it's got to be X Clown. I mean, well, no, okay. It's definitely going to be the Vikings. Was the Vikings? I don't know. The rowboat.
Yeah. Is it not? Well, okay. Look at this. We've already got. You just fumbled between three plays.
Yes, I did.
Right? And what I mean by that is that's how awesome he is. The very fucking first play of his career, he scores. He runs. Oh, I guess that was against the Vikings, wasn't it? The first play where he scored a touchdown. All right. I was thinking about this when you said the Vikings. He made that one corner. Do you remember there was a corner? He played for the Washington Redskins at one point, and then he went and played for the Minnesota Vikings, and he was actually a pretty damn good player. This was when Steve Smith did the rowboat celebration, and he put up like 200 yards on this one dude. And the guy like had to quit football after. What? Somebody in the YouTube chat room has to get that back. Who was that guy? It was like Hank. No, I cannot. We're gonna look it up. All right. So You're flipping between his very first play of his career and X-Clown. Cody, first memory, Steve Smith. Or not first memory that comes to mind.
Oh, man. You know what, man? It has to be against the Arizona Cardinals. Cam Newton's touchdown pass.
That's what I was going to say, strangely. Oh, my God. It's good. Oh, it was so good.
Cam to Agent 89, and boy, he just strutted into the end zone like a boss, man. Just, dude, the most confidence that you could ever have. I mean, like I said, man, you want that guy on your side in a fight. It doesn't matter who you're against, man. You want Steve Smith on your team.
I was thinking about when the reason I love that play when it comes to Cam Newton coming into the league, it's like if you had this hot girl walk into your house, this beautiful girl you're trying to hit on, and that beautiful girl being Cam Newton, she comes in there and she's like, and you're trying to impress her. You're trying to impress her. And then you open up your parents' medicine cabinet / liquor cabinet, and then you slide to the right and you find like the most gorgeous bottle of liquor that nobody knows about. And you go, hey, let's take this old bottle of liquor off the shelf, aka Steve Smith, that's been sitting here and aging for the last 5 fucking years with no damn help. And then, oh, he's delicious still. He's still delicious. And then he went on to crush it for 2 freaking seasons. It was so wonderful to see that fine aged wine come back out, man. It tasted good when those grapes were fresh, and it tasted better when it was vintage. Steve Smith was, I continue to say, I slightly wish we would have traded him to Indianapolis in 2008.
Just so he would have a better career?
Oh, my God. If he would have been with Peyton in those top 3 years, 08, 09, 10, 11, 4 years right there, Peyton is the top of his game right before he busts his neck up, whatever it was, he would have – Reggie Wayne, what? Who?
Yeah.
That type – I mean, if you would have put him with that – I just continue to look at his statistics and say, man, he did that with – the best quarterback being Jake Delhomme.
Yeah, and, you know, to me, it kind of goes to the point, you know, a good wide receiver and a good quarterback, I mean, they can make each other, man. I mean, they can absolutely make each other. I've DeAndre Hopkins in Houston. Now that he has Deshaun Watson throwing him the football, now you see that guy making crazy plays all the time. I mean, they boost each other's level of play. But I'm not happy that we didn't trade him to Indianapolis. I'm happy that he was at Carolina Panthers.
It's kind of like the Kimba thing.
I get your point.
It's kind of like the Kimba thing. It's the Kimba thing. It's like,
chase a championship.
It's not even that. It's like, hey, we recognize that you as a player are giving your 100% all. Like, you bleed on the field for us. That was the one thing you knew, and that's what they highlighted in the video, is that Steve Smith gave every ounce, every cellular piece of material he had at that moment, he gave to you. And what we didn't feel like in that kind of 09, well, that 4-year run, from 07, maybe. I mean, because of 08, we got in there with all those, with just running backs only. But the point I'm saying is this, you didn't feel like the organization was doing that.
No.
You know, and so then you're looking at it going, holy shit, we need, I don't know, is that I look back at those plays, there has not been, there's no one that's been more electric than Steve Smith. And the only person that can compare to him is Cam Newton, electrically.
Yeah, I mean, we could play the comparison game. I mean, I'm always going to put Cam as number one. That's what got me back into football in a huge way. And then Steve Smith, you know, for those 2 years, I was heartbroken when I found out that we traded him, man. And I was never a fan of a lot of the offensive weapons that Dave Gettleman put around Cam Newton.
and then to lose somebody like Steve Smith, and then to see what Dave Gettleman does with Odell Beckham Jr., man, it's just embarrassing that the guy doesn't understand the value in defensive backs and wide receivers. I mean, especially in today's NFL, it's so incredibly important. But I do get what you're saying about the Kemba Walker thing. I was wanting Kemba to leave the Hornets forever, man. That dude deserves better than the Hornets. So,
his name was Fred Smoot. Fred Smoot was Steve Smith said that he destroyed, quote, a guy that I take pride in. I destroyed his career. Is Fred Smoot, Smith said Wednesday. He was never the same after. After coming in Bank of America Stadium, things just went downhill from there. Smith humiliated trash-talking Smoot to the tune of a franchise-high 201 yards and a touchdown in a 2005 game. That's right. My man Fred Smoot was trying to talk shit about Steve Smith, and my man Steve Smith put up 201 on him. 201 and a TD, and then said, I destroyed his career. Fred Smoot, rest in peace. Rest in peace. All right. Camp, let's move on. You're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. Call into the Cat Calls line. The number's 252-228-5098. Cody, the next thing up is All In with the Panthers. And guess who's there? Cam Newton getting an edge up, getting a clean up. He got his shoulder cleaned up in the offseason, but let's see him get his little head trimmed up with a cigar.
Yeah, man. Hey, look, you know Cam, Killer Cam, got to make sure the drip is on point at all times, all time, every time. But before I play this clip, knowing how the season ended and hearing Cam talk like he does, like you're about to hear, not only is it kind of sad, but it gives you, a little bit of insight into what Cam Newton thinks about his teammates and how much responsibility he puts on himself and trying to get these guys to hoist the Super Bowl championship. So without further ado.
I don't believe in that type of pressure when it comes to expectations being held up. Because one thing that gives me supreme confidence is I know what I do weekly, no one's doing. No one even is thinking about doing certain things that I'm wanting to do. And come Sunday, that's the only thing that runs through my mind. In this league, it comes like you have a small window to accomplish certain things. And who knows, are we still in that window? Who knows? No one knows. But I for damn sure know that when it comes to me and my preparation, I will always be ready. And I know every game won't be no lights out game offensively where we put up 40 points or whatever and the defense may not just shut them out. But, you just have to go into each and every game prepared.
Look at how fucking cool my man is.
Uphold your energy.
Too cool. Lord.
And that's when it comes
back to catch me out, baby.
When you got a guy like Ryan, a guy that I know has my back, and TD, Frazier.
I had to Twitter about this. I was ashamed when I got the answer of who Frazier was.
Most.
And no, it wasn't Mose.
Julius Peppers.
Yeah, that's his nickname for Julius Peppers. I was like, why is he talking about Mose Frazier? Like, nobody knows him. Not Cam.
Oh, nothing, baby. I'm so freaking excited, dude. Oh, my God. Yeah, I can't wait for it. I love documentary series.
I need a cold shower.
I've watched them all. You know, I love the, and especially when it comes to football, like I love Last Chance University. I love all those shows. So the fact that we're going to get to see an in-depth behind the look.
Oh, my God.
Behind the scenes look at the Carolina Panthers, dude, in the season. Like, I cannot tell y'all how pumped I am for this.
It's actually, I'm almost nervous about it. Like I'm, it's like a nervous excitement. It's a nervous. Yeah. It's like how mugs are waiting for the new release of whatever their favorite movie sci-fi series is. Is like you're so excited about it. You're like, please live up to it. Please live up to it. Every, you know what I mean? Like it's like, let me love it. Let me feel good when I watch it. I just want it to be perfect, and I'm so nervous about it. On top of that, I was gonna mention too. I was embarrassed about when he said Frasier. Who the hell is Frasier? I'm like, who the hell is Frasier? And like you said, CK, Moe's Frasier. I'm sitting there. I'm at work. And I'm sitting there going,
what the fuck do you have to do with
Moe's Frasier? Shit, you want to win a title for Moe's Frasier? That's like saying you want to win a title for the C3 Panthers podcast. Like, damn. All right. But then I tweeted it out, and people said that that's the nickname he had for Julius Peppers.
Oh, you tweeted it out?
Yeah, I was like, who the fuck is this Frasier cat?
Brother, you should have texted me or something first.
Nah, I wasn't even embarrassed. I followed this shit like crazy. I was like, who the fuck is this? It's not Moe's. Yeah. It's not Moe's. Welcome to Moe's.
He called Julius Peppers. That was like Joe Frasier. The boxer.
So, Joe Frasier. Yeah,
that was Joe Frasier. Okay. So, yeah, man, that was his nickname. Cam has the best nicknames, man, and I love that they gives it to him. It's like a sign of respect. It's like saying, yeah, man, if I fuck with you, I'm going to give you a nickname.
Yeah, man, imagine if you were Cam's friend and you didn't have a handshake.
Yeah, right.
Like, you'd be like, whoa. Like one of the lanes. Like, Cam, can we work on the handshake when we got a moment? My point too is
be like, nah, bro.
The most important part of this all-in series is really for the whole C3 family to watch this with a forensic eye for one thing.
Yeah.
One thing is that someone told me a long time ago that Cam Newton actually had a Cam Wow. And if I see a Cam Wow hung somewhere in Cam Newton's collection of memorabilia, I'm going crazy. I'm going nutso. So please, you forensic fans out there, you slow down the frames and fuck it.
We're playing Where's Waldo now.
Photoshop that shit for me just to make my life goddamn amazing.
Wow.
Oh, man. So, yeah. It's okay. I don't know if we ever got your opinion on the Prime thing. Are you excited about checking it out?
Do not tell me you don't have Prime, asshole.
Oh,
that's what two people said, Josh from Ash. I'm looking at you.
I have Prime. So I'm super excited for more than a couple of reasons. So July 19th, I close on my house. I'm selling my house. So
nice.
Oh, hell yeah!
Congratulations.
It kind of closes out one chapter of my life and starts a new one. So I can start kind of like, you know, relive what happened in the past and then really kind of look forward to what's going to happen this season.
What day do you close on?
July 19th.
You have to like wake up at midnight and binge this in your old house and then like watch it by yourself in an empty home and then leave that shit behind.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I was talking to my buddy about. My buddy's a Buffalo Bills fan. We're actually going to be going to the Bills game, thanks to Susan, the preseason. But, you know, I was talking about this series, and I'm like, you know, I'm excited about it. But at the same time, like, I'm just going to go through this emotional roller coaster that was last season. And we've already kind of had this conversation, right? You know,
the
6-2. Oh my gosh, we're finally a winning franchise.
Get it. We go get it. It's we're consistently winning now.
And then you know, we know
collapse.
Freaking TJ Watt. Just kidding. No. He had issues long before TJ Watt.
Pittsburgh.
Well, let's revisit this before we watch the show. I do want to ask you this. is that overall, your opinions on last season, like your memory of what it was, the arc of the season and the story, what is it now? Because I'm interested in hearing how it changes as we watch the show. Yeah. And number one, I think you bring up a fantastic point, CK, is that we're 6-2 here. You know, Joe Riolano, when we're in week 3-4, says this defense looks old, right? And yeah. And
no,
then,
Joe said that in the preseason.
He said it early. It might have been like week 2. Early. Yeah, it was early. It was real early.
Shout out Joe Riolano, man. Joe was on that shit.
So then, but then you're watching it, and you're watching, you watch that first game where we played Dallas, I believe, and it was like a 15-12 game, and you're like, oh, God, another Panthers offense that's going to start slow, right? You're looking at that, and then you're like, well, the defense has got to carry us. But no, the offense masked a lot of warts. They were the makeup of a lot of blemishes when it came to that team, and we go to a 6-2 record, and we're sitting there at 6-2, and we're saying, you know what, maybe the defense is okay enough to get by. But then we got this offense that's starting to bud. Cam's looking proficient, and like we got a couple of exciting things, and then it starts to fall apart a little, and then it falls apart more. And then it becomes a godforsaken avalanche of terribleness coming down the mountain at us. And so that's my recollection of what the season was like. But when you're at 6-2 there, what are you thinking, Cody? We're in Pittsburgh, right? Maybe we were.
David Tepper came from Pittsburgh. It was a big deal. I had an analogy, but it was very adult, and I don't know if it would be the best thing for YouTube. So I'll go ahead and say this. This season was like, you know those games that you play in an arcade with the claw, and you have to go down and pick up the stuffed animal, and then right at the end.
You got it all the way.
Yeah, you know you have it, dude. That shit is yours, and then it just lets it go, and you're like,
Your adult analogy, I think we prematurely came.
Dude, that's what I was about to say, man.
I think that's what we did in that season last year. But it was looking like, hey, as we're getting it done, we're figuring out a way, we're going to get healthy, and then you can't lose Cam. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask about, actually, what was it? I was going to say Cam knew. Oh, so I'm sitting at the bar, guys, yesterday, and I'm watching tennis. Not like watching tennis. I like we stop. We take my kid to karate. So you're like, you're sitting at the bar on a Monday afternoon. Like, goddamn. Like, yes, I was sitting at the bar on a Monday afternoon after work on Mondays. We take our kid to karate. She goes to karate, and there happens to be this wonderful craft beer bottle shop right beside it where you get to get craft beers. So she goes to karate. We rendezvous at the damn Tapped. Shout out to Tapped on Fire Tower for that. It's amazing. So they had the tennis. They had the women's tennis on, and they were showing men's highlights. And I go, I wonder how Cam Newton would be at tennis. Because I saw this guy who was like 6'2", and I was like, man, he looks a little long playing tennis. I don't know if he's athletic enough. But then I was thinking, well, Cam, he probably could do this. Like I'm saying, so I said it aloud. I said, I wonder how Cam Newton would be at tennis. And the guy, there's two people at the bar beside me. One guy said he'd probably drop his top hat. And the next guy said he would probably be sorry. So we get two negative comments right after this. And immediately after they say that, I go, I think he'd probably be awesome. That's how I see this. Would Cam Newton be good at tennis? No, that's not the question. Is why? Why do people... Cam Newton, is there anything he could be bad at?
You know, it's funny that you bring this up. I was watching John Jones fight Thiago Santos at UFC 239 this past Saturday, and I was thinking about that too, man. You know, what if you put Cam Newton in the prime of his young career and put him in the octagon?
God.
Dude, that guy...
I don't know. Do you think he's mean enough? He's tough enough. Well, is he mean enough?
There's a lot of similarities between throwing a punch and throwing the football. So, I mean, he might not... I don't know his ability to take a punch, but I know damn sure...
Oh, he can take a punch. He can take it.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, we do know that.
He's tough.
From him being... I mean, just whenever you get hit on the jaw, that's a different thing. But I somehow think that Cam Newton is such a physical beast that, yeah, whatever he put his mind to playing professionally... He'd be incredible at it.
It's kind of like CK. If Cam Newton played soccer, they would actually score 12 goals.
Yeah.
Instead of one.
Like, he'd be like the women's team.
That's the solution. That's the solution to fixing soccer.
We might have made the World Cup with Cam Newton.
Yeah, we might have made the World Cup.
Yes, the men's team would actually be good if they had Cam Newton.
Yeah, for
that,
sure.
That might be a stretch, but I mean, I'm a Cam supporter. Don't get me wrong.
What if he played goalie? Goalie. He's long.
Goalie would be all right. I think with his height, his reach, his leg, I mean, he just has the ability to be a goal. If he put his mind to it and he actually practiced soccer, I think that would be a different story. I think he'd be all right.
What if he threw the ball in and just killed someone? Bitch, that's what I would do. I would throw it at the defenseman.
No, just all he would need to do, catch the ball as a goalie, and he could just jet it. He could just fire it into the other goal.
He just throw it. Well, the crazy thing is there's only one thing that may be too big for Cam to overthrow. And that's the fucking soccer field. Because, God forsaken, it is like 12 acres of land out there. You look at that. It's keeping landscapers in business for lifetimes. It is giant. No. All right. So, Cam Newton. Oh, speaking of, let's continue on with Cam Newton. Cody.
Yeah.
So, hit me up. You and Cody came hard. Cody came after. This is what I agree. I agree with Cody on this. But Cody on Twitter, I pull up Twitter at work. Like I'm in the bathroom. Everybody's like, "Do you work?" I'm like, "Well, I'm also taking a dump." My bad, folks. So I'm there and I pull up Twitter and Cody is like blasting PFF, put on blast. Tell us what happened, oh,
yeah.
Cody.
Yeah, man. So, I'll just show you guys what I put. Listen, we need to have a real discussion about these snobs at Pro Football Focus. And I'm not just saying this because, you know, Steve Palazzolo of PFF is trying to drag Cam Newton, but these numbers are so soulless, man. And they don't take so much into context, even though they tell you that they do. So, Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus says, "I'm struggling with the Hall of Fame path for Cam. He's a unique player, incredible runner, volatile passer. How many years of Cam's career has he played like a top 10 quarterback? Not many." Bro, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Cam Newton has been having to do more with less than almost any quarterback in the NFL since he's been here. You don't know if the quarterback and the receiver...
Well, what did you say to him? Tell us. Yeah, so, can you tell us what your tweet said?
This is why PFF is garbage at evaluating quarterback talent. Throwing the football to big, fat, slow receivers will be terrible for your QBR. These super analytical guys are often oblivious to context and play design. PFF is so overrated and up their own ass, And I stand by what I say, man.
On blast.
On blast, man. Listen, PFF, you know, I'm not saying that they don't add some value. But listen, if you all think that PFF is the Bible, the word of God on what players are good or bad and all these numbers, you have to learn how to decipher this for yourself, man. These guys, they don't know what they're looking at when they're watching Cam Newton play football.
Sorry, again, let me interrupt here. The best YouTube comment of the night comes from Mr. Froth. Cam would be hell in beach volleyball. You goddamn yeah. right. He would fuck your ass up. It's a beach volleyball. Oh, my God. And he would look great doing it, and there'd be beautiful women all around. I'm ready. I'm on Cam's team. All right, so you hear that, CK. You hear this. All right, what do you think of Cody's reaction? Let's ask that, CK. Is Cody being mama bear to Cam Newton here in a little? Because that's what my friend Tweet and Clip tells me. Clip Rock tells me, calls me mama bear. Cam Newton, anytime you come after him, I'm coming up like damn Mike Tolbert's mama on that. Or is he being mama bear, or are they being – what do you think about this moment?
I think there's a lot of validity to it. You know, with the PFF, like, if you think about it, if they're looking at stats over the first, you know, what, 8-9 years of somebody's career, Cam Newton has some of the best. Like, he's got better numbers than Tom Brady.
Like, what are they looking at?
He's got better number than Breeze. The only quarterback in the South, in the NFC South, that has a better first 8 seasons of their career is Matt Ryan. And, you know, I know that. To be fair, statistically speaking, he has the better numbers. But to be fair, he's
if
also
you
had
don't
Julio Jones.
Say, if you and right. you don't and count Muhammad any too. Rushing at any rushing statistics.
Exactly.
And better offensive line play and Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman.
By the way, Matt Vomit. Matt Ryan makes me want to vomit. Don't ever say that again.
And dude, and Pro Football Focus sucks off Matt Ryan at every chance that they get. Dude.
Let me ask you this, Cody. What are they focusing on? If you're not focusing on stats, what are they? Because CK tells us right here, and he's right, and that's what I tweeted, is he shattered every fucking record you could think of. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, what do you need at what point? What do you need him to do? What do you need him to do? And that's what I say to these guys is screw you, is that if you're wavering, if you think he's on the path, no, he's making the path, homie. He's got the machete. He's hacking through the fucking jungle, and he has made a path. The only thing that's going to stop Cam Newton from getting into the Hall of Fame would be a God... Father, Son, Holy Spirit, like a career ending shit. That's it.
Yeah.
Is that like, what else do you have to fucking do?
Well, so this is my, this is what I feel Pro Football Focus does. Like, they have people that evaluate every single play, apparently, and they rate a player according to their scale. But like I said, they're not talking about, you know, where the quarterback was, the quarterback and the receiver on the same page. They don't know what the goal of that specific play call was. They're not talking about how separated the receivers are from the defensive back, how many times the ball was dropped or bobbled or intercepted because the ball went through their hands. Numbers will never tell you the full picture on Cam Newton. They're not going to.
How about and this? Is they won't tell you the full picture, but Cody, they tell us some pretty impressive shits on their own, don't they? Don't they paint a pretty fucking impressive picture on their
100%. Own? 100%. How many people would have the numbers that Cam Newton is putting up if
how many people have his numbers? That's what I say, is how many mugs have his numbers?
Even with the talent, the little talent that he's had around him on offense and on the offensive line and at the receiving position, listen, Cam Newton has already had, in my opinion, a Hall of Fame type of career, and a Super Bowl is going to cement that.
If he gets a Super Bowl, I don't want to ever hear this conversation again from anybody. That's hey, man, it. Like, that's PFL. It. Is that, like, no, I promise. And that's, well, you know what? I will. I'm going to comment on tell them. When Cam gets his Super Bowl, you have to permanent, you have to delete this shit forever. Delete this thought. Not the tweet, the fucking thought. The thought.
The thought. The thought.
You're from New Jersey now?
All right. All right. So, speaking of, I'm salty. I'm upset. I'm salty and upset. Someone else turns out to be a salty-ass mug. And look, I'm cursing a lot tonight. I don't like this. I do I have a foul mouth.
I think I'm you a did. Bad influence
you
on
are, you are a bad, vulgar influence on me.
I'm sorry.
I have a foul mouth. I try to clean it up on this podcast. And then Cody shows
I bring the worst out in you. Or is it the best?
Ooh.
And now.
How about this? Tell me this. Is what the hell happened? All right, so we get this terrible moment, the sad moment of Catman dies.
Yeah.
We talked about it earlier. This person passes away, and within 24 hours, D'Angelo Williams comes at the Panthers organization. Now, be mindful of this. The Panthers are owned by a different person now than when D'Angelo played for them. There's a completely different culture already. So your salty ass feelings show today. Look, Cody, what? Go ahead and play the video. It's not a video. It's just a series of tweets. I do want to. What D. Well said was this. Is number one, he said this. He said, look, huh, this Panther fan, the biggest Panther fan in the world passing away and has. All right. It says this. I need to read it verbatim. ... The biggest Panther fan in the world. By the way, Panther lowercase has passed away at Panthers. You lowercase you. Sorry. Bothers me. Should prob. Say something about Catman. Show us you care about the fans. D'Angelo Williams calling out the Carolina Panthers on July 6th. I'm pretty sure that's like right when the stories are coming out. What is D'Angelo doing here, guys?
Dude, could you imagine caring? Like, dude, this is like that ex-girlfriend that will not stop talking shit about you online, and you've been broken up like what 7 years now. Like, bitch, move on, find some other shit to do. Like, really, is this still? Like, come on, man. Like, I understand you think that you're making a point, but then you're dragging the death of another man into this. Like, come on, bro. Like that's. I know we're cussing too much tonight, man, but that's a real bitch move, in my opinion. And all it does is trash on people that he feels wronged him. And I guess that means the entirety of the Panther fans that bought his jersey and supported him when he was here. Like, the guy is just, I mean, he's trash, man. Like, this is low. He's always been low. And, dude, I hate that we even have to talk about him right now, man. He's such a loser.
All right, CK, D'Angelo comes out, calls the Panthers out, which is kind of like, this is awkward, right? Have you called your mother yet? Have you called your mother yet? That's what I feel like I'm getting from somebody, is that my mom's an Italian woman and she needs to be called. Right? She needs to. And it's just like, why haven't you called me? Like, it's like, hey, first of all, we're working on the shit. A, it's been like, why is this got to be on your damn timeline? But B, D'Angelo then goes on and just fights with Panther fans incessantly about, like, no, I'm not salty. You're the bitch ass mug. Like, this and that, back and forth. Why? What? To me, is this self-serving? And CK, going back to the whole pink thing, there's always been a degree, I feel like, with D'Angelo and the wrestling shit, the self-promotion.
Yeah, but it just seems like he is losing so much goodwill with people that really...
We all liked him. We liked him at one point.
I mean, even the social things that he did with breast cancer and things like that. I mean, you want to sit there and still like the guy, but I mean, when he pulls, it's just like he's alienating so many people that once supported him more than anybody else did. He went to Steeler Nation. Certainly, he did a good job there for a couple of years.
Did we wish him ill will?
No.
No. Nuns.
It's absolutely asinine to sit here and think that he's going to treat people who clearly are coming to his defense in certain circumstances like they're bottom of the, you know, pond scum. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
He is obviously out of touch. You know, this is what happens when you do get success and you have done a lot of right things in your life, right? You've done so many right things, but you are a victim of your own success in this instance to where you think that everybody else hasn't. Their misfortune is because they aren't as good as you. They didn't work as hard as you. You have bought into your own legend, D'Angelo Williams. And I'm sorry to say this is that, actually, I'm not sorry to say it, is that ever since I've gotten to know D'Angelo Williams, I have liked him less. And this is coming from an East Carolina Pirates fan who watched D'Angelo Williams when he played for Memphis run roughshod all over us. He's a fantastic college football player. Phenomenal. He gets drafted by the Carolina Panthers. I'm so excited. I saw this guy. I'm like, man, this dude is amazing. And he played amazing. He was a jerk to the players in the locker room. He was already talking shit to Deshaun Foster. You can go and listen to Where's That Cat Now? I talked to Deshaun Foster. He didn't see it as talking shit, but he comes in as a rookie, cocky as all get out. But you know what? My man balled out. And then things go sour with the organization, but things didn't sour with the fans until he did it. That's the thing, is nobody here. Actually, he reclaimed a little bit of his legacy in those final years where he played pretty well with the Carolina Panthers, but things started to sour because him. We just don't like him.
Well, and listen, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So when you treat people with disrespect, like, what do you expect fans to do? You're talking about the Carolina Panthers. Do you think Panther fans aren't going to call you an asshole for acting like an asshole to the team and to players that have been on the team? It's like, come on, dude. You're old. You're tired. It's like you're making yourself look pathetic. And like what CK does, he genuinely does a lot of work for breast cancer awareness. His mom died of breast cancer. Like, the dude has a good story. But when you go out of your way to act like a jerk, you can't get mad when people call you a jerk. Straight up. I mean, it is what it is. He's so salty. I don't know why. Like I said, he's like that ex-girlfriend that doesn't know how to move on. Or boyfriend. We don't discriminate. Whatever. That ex that doesn't know how to get you out of their heart and head. So in order to make themselves feel better, they have to shit all over you and the success that you're having. So, dude, peace out.
He's gone on. Yeah, I mean, he's gone on to call people losers on the internet. And it's just, it's like, I'm sure that he does deal with a lot. And any star deals with a ton of mentions. You know what I'm saying? So I look at my at mentions on Twitter. I'm like, oh, people care about me. If you're a celebrity, you'll look at your at mentions and you're like, shit, everybody hates me. Right? So I know he deals with a ton, but you can't, don't shit where you sleep or eat. What's the saying? Don't shit where you live.
Yeah, don't shit where you live.
Or eat, whatever it is. Whatever it is D'Angelo did that. He made his money. what you do is you con the fans and you endear the fans. Just like I'm going to endear these people. God bless. God bless Susan Deans and Master Froth. Mr. Froth.
Hey, he might like Master.
Yeah.
But he has a great question. And thanks to both for the show and support to the show. Me and Tony.
Stand beside me also.
We're doing some cool shit. And listen, guys, if you haven't checked it out or if you came in a little bit earlier, we have a new intro to the show that none other than CK himself did the voiceover for. It's an evolving thing, but we're doing some cool things, and we're doing it with the support from you guys. So thanks you to
Carolina
those.
Panthers fans have an insatiable thirst for Panthers news and opinions. Only one podcast roars ferociously. It's the C3 Panthers Podcast.
That is nasty. I love that. Shout out to Tony for throwing it together. CK, your voice is incredible. You have the voice of a masculine angel, my man.
A masculine angel.
Yes. On that note, guys, I got to get out of here.
All right, Gary and CK, go take care of your family, sir.
Hey, thank you for joining us, brother. And until next time, man, you can always join.
All right, peace out, guys.
Anytime. All right. Later, thank you, Mr. Froth, for your contribution, your donation to Panther Nation. That's what
and
it is.
Susan. Susan, we love you, Susan.
That's what we need to call it. It's a donation to Panther Nation.
A donation to Panther.
100%. We're growing. All we do is use it to grow the channel. We just take the money that's in that little account, and we use it to pay for the hosting, and then we pay to advertise the account. Like, we don't even get anything from this. So donate to Panther Nation. Our goal right here is to grow the Carolina Panthers fan base, and not that we're going to do it single-handedly. That's not what I'm trying to say. We need a fan base like Green Bay. And I'm not trying to call out Panther fans and saying they're not good enough. We need generational fans. We need fans that live. We already got it. We already have. The seeds are planted. The Rich Kingstons, the Jay Criers are planted in England, right? We have a ton of people throughout the country who are following the Carolina Panthers. That's the thing, is that these cherished franchises have a generational fan base, and they're everywhere. And don't worry, we're making the Panthers like that.
And they're loud, and they're proud, and they travel. And there are some fans that, hey, especially if you're on their territory, you just don't fuck with them, man, because you know they rock, they ride with the Carolina Panthers. And, yeah, you're 100% correct. And I think David Tepper is really taking steps to ensure that we continue to build upon that, man, having the Panther in the end zone. Listen, this is another thing that I don't think that we've talked about. This Amazon Prime All or Nothing, in my opinion, is such a David Tepper move. Like, of course he would want his team to be featured in the first
promotion.
Season.
Promotion.
Look, there are going to be people that are going to be fans of the Carolina Panthers because of this show. They're going to get to know Cam Newton. They're going to get to know Olsen and McCaffrey. And listen, man.
What about McCaffrey in the and now dating old homeboys leftovers?
Leftovers.
That's what I call it. Well, it's not leftovers. Ooh. When you look at her, you're like, damn, I want to put you in the microwave. You look delicious.
Wait,
You don't know about this? You don't know about Christian McCaffrey? And hold on. Let me look it up. I don't follow pop culture.
I know this is an Instagram model, but that's the extent of my knowledge.
No, she used to be Edelman's girlfriend. I think it was Edelman.
Oh, is that the one that used to post pictures of her in bed with them, like, and homeboy was still passed out?
Well, I didn't look deep enough into the internet, obviously.
You might need to stay away from that one.
I need to look at this a little more carefully, obviously. her name is... No, that's not it. His ex-girlfriend is pretty, too. Good Lord. Well, of course she is. Dude, of course he is. Don't worry. I mean, look, if you saw
any
me,
girl that you wanted, if you're Christian McCaffrey. Right,
my computer's acting slow. Somebody tell us who the hell, hold on, is this girl that Christian McCaffrey is seeing? He was in Mexico with her. And here, cool, 7 degrees of separation. TMZ just put out something. I watched it today. TMZ Sports. I looked at the article and I was like, I just want to look at the reading part. Also, you saw, you know what I was doing. You all know about my personal habits throughout the day, obviously. But so I'm sitting there enjoying the throne and I'm like, I want to read the article. And I had to watch the video. TMZ, you suck for that. Because, like, why are you guys? I want to watch a video in the bathroom with noise. But I did. But I did. And it was, they were in Mexico. And he was with, here's your 7 degrees of separation. He was vacationing with, because the girl who he's dating is friends with Tyler Gaffney. Gaffney, that's his name.
Remember, dude, you have former, lost me, brother.
Tyler Gaffney, former Panther. We drafted him in 2014. He had a great preseason. He got hurt. He was the guy that the Panthers tried to stash on the practice squad, and the Patriots went and nabbed. That's the guy, Tyler Gaffney. Look it up. But he was there with Tyler Gaffney, Tyler Gaffney's wife, and this new girl.
Yeah, I've only vaguely heard about this story, man. Listen, I just imagine that if you're Christian McCaffrey, you could have probably any woman in the world that you wanted. Maybe.
Olivia Culpa. Her name Olivia, is yeah, that Olivia Culpa.
That sounds familiar. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're McCaffrey, like I said, you have just about any woman that you want to. I mean, does it surprise you that his girlfriend is like, I don't know. The thing that would frighten me, though, is if you're bouncing around from football player to football player, literally and figuratively, then I don't know, man. I don't know. That might not be a good look. That's not a wholesome wife it up type.
Or she has a certain type, and that certain type is a 1% body fat, beautiful person who is chiseled as a motherfucker and like doesn't do shit. Susan says this. Oh no, Tony! How many times do you go to the bathroom? You don't want to know. You don't want to know. On Tuesdays, a lot.
Susan called you out, bro.
On Tuesdays, a ton. Let me prepare. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So here, she has a type, and her type is Christian McCaffrey. I got a type too, and it's not type 2 diabetes. It's a type 2 Christian McCaffrey, because
yeah, for sure.
I was thinking about this today when I was watching the Smitty Hall of Fame, the Hall of Honor stuff, and how electric it was, right? And how exciting, and how sick. I mean, there was something the hairs on my neck kind of prickled up. It was something magical to it, and you don't catch it often. You know, you don't catch that lightning in a bottle often. I think we've been fortunate with Cam Newton. We caught it right after Steve Smith. And yeah. Christian McCaffrey might be that white lightning bug.
Yeah, man, you really do have a great point, man. I mean, Christian McCaffrey really does seem like the kind of person that, man, especially if he continues on this track and the level of dedication that he has, and McCaffrey could be an all-time player for the Panthers, man. I mean, he definitely has the work ethic to do it. I hear he's the son of Greg Olsen, so that's always a bonus. Yeah, man, McCaffrey's the shit. I'm very excited about a lot of players on this offense right now and some of the support that we put around Cam Newton. There's never been a better time to be more excited about this Panthers offense. That's for damn sure.
All right. One other story before we get the cat calls. Kendrick Norton, former Panther draft pick. I could not. First of all, when you told me he was a draft pick, and I follow this stuff, I feel like really closely. I don't remember that, but Kendrick Norton, former Panther, he's been associated with the team, got in a car accident, rolled the car somehow, had to have his arm amputated. How terrible of a story is that?
Yeah, man, your life is your life playing football is definitely over. I don't know of anyone that's been to the NFL ever playing with one arm. It's terrible. Do you have the details on how it happened?
Like, no, I don't know anything. I barely knew he was with the team. I mean, I knew I saw that he had been associated. Yeah. I assumed that he was a practice squad guy. I can't even say I vaguely remember his name. So when someone tweeted, like, I think Rich Kingston tweeted me, he said, look, this made news in England. Like, he heard it on the radio in England, which is crazy. And then on top of that, I mean, it's just a sad, man, this is a tragedy. That's what it is.
Yeah, man, it's terrible. And then you have to adjust everything that you do in life. But listen, man, this is words to live by. No matter how bad you have it, dude, someone somewhere always has it worse. And it's what True you that. Do from then. It's what you do from then. Are you going to take that adversity and crumble? Then, you know, hey, you're not strong enough to take it. Or do you move on because you have no choice and become a better person and still live your life to the best of your ability? I mean, you have to overcome a lot of different shit, and now that's something that he has to overcome. So shout out to him and his family. Prayers up to him, and hope for a fast recovery for the man.
Let me tell you this about, just to follow up on what Cody said, is that I tell people that I'm close to, and those being my students, because I'm the only people that I get to advise them in life. And I always say, is it helpful to weigh our crosses? We all have crosses, right?
Yeah.
We all bear a cross of life. And I'm not trying to force a Christianity on you. It's a Christian analogy, I guess.
Right.
And that the idea is this, is we all bear the burden of ourselves. And it's all happy and awesome and tragic at the same time. But if we start trying to compare whose shit stinks the most or whose cross is the heaviest, it's not a helpful conversation. It's just not fruitful. And it's not saying that your cross doesn't weigh anything. It's just this, is that maybe we should start talking about the weight of it and things, rather than whose weighs more. Yeah, because the Jews win. That's what I always say, is because Jewish people's cross wins.
And, you know,
except for the one they gave to Jesus.
And I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, instead of weighing your cross compared to someone else, just be knowledgeable and respectful that everyone does have that cross to bear, even if you don't know what it is, even if it might not be obvious. You know, everybody's got something. And now he has his. So, like I said, prayers up to him and his family. Hope for a speedy and successful recovery. And, yeah, man, find out how all the things that you can do with one hand. I can think of a few things, but, you know, that's here nor there.
Daily.
sometimes twice a day, dude. What?
Stupid.
You're stupid.
All right, let's jump into these cat calls. The number's 252-228-5098. You can have your voice heard on the C3 Panthers podcast. That's 252-228-5098.
So what are your thoughts on cat calling?
Yeah, it's pretty you shouldn't do that to somebody.
And how did that make you feel?
Very uncomfortable.
So how do you think cat calling makes the person feel?
It feels good, like... Who's that cat sitting in the back corner with his face buried in his notebook? Who's that kid that can use one?
What's up, guys? Nick from Maris, a.k.a. 7 Flag Crawlers on YouTube. Sorry, I'm a little behind Sunday night and just getting around to listening to your podcast on Stitcher. So, Tony, I'm sorry, I have to disagree with you about Tom Brady. Unfortunately, I feel like he's a has-been.
He still wins the ring. He still gets them there, but he doesn't have that long ball like he used to. I remember being a little kid sitting on my inflatable Super Bowl chair and just cheering on Tom Brady as he threw the long ball to Randy Moss. You know, and he doesn't have that now. I mean, yeah, he's an old man. He's ready for his rocking chair, but it's just not there, you know? So, but I will say this. Never forget 28-3, you know?
So, never forget.
There goes the Falcons. But
the only good thing Tom Brady ever did.
I'm a little behind, so he found it.
The only good thing Tom Brady ever did is ruin the Falcons' dreams, hopes and dreams. And by the way, I would like to remind everybody who's listening to C3 Panthers podcast, we never relent on our Falcons hate. And so much so that when that stupid ass 2016 Super Bowl, I went to AJ McMurphy's, and it was election year. And by the way, after the election in 2016, everybody's hashtag was not my president. And I went to the bar and I wore a sign that said not my Super Bowl. And I turned my back at it and I only watched the commercials. Take that, bitches. Take that. What kind of Panthers fan is that? I won't even watch the Falcons in the fucking Super Bowl until they lost. And then I turned around. It's like, oh, 23, hey, bitches.
Can I tell you my Super Bowl?
Let's hear it.
What was that, 51? Yeah, so my Super Bowl 51 story. My brother had bet me dinner and wherever I wanted to go that if the Patriots beat the Falcons, he would have to buy me dinner. And if the Falcons beat the Patriots, I would have to buy him dinner. So, dude, I'm so depressed, man. I'm thinking, oh, God, here we go. Because the Falcons are beating the hell out of the Patriots.
Yeah, it's a double whammy there. That's a double fucking whammy. Dude,
my brother's talking so much shit about where he wants to go with food. And oh, we're
and
going
the appetizer
here,
he's going to order.
Appetizers. And, dude, when we came all the way back, best believe it, we went downtown Charlotte, went to the most expensive Brazilian steakhouse there was, and I made him pay. And he lived up on that bet that night, my friend. And I would never let him live it down, too. So I appreciate the Falcons being such a dumpster fire that I have an incredible story to tell and a meal that night that went along with it.
Wonderful. Screw you, Falcons. I hate you more than anything. In fact, how about this? Is that I put that tweet out about the tennis stuff, and I took a picture of myself. I did a selfie. Terrible angle. But I was wearing... I don't even like to wear red. I actually look decent in red. But I try... First of all, I never wear red on Sunday, Monday, or Thursday. I refuse to wear red on football days. I swear to God. Except for in this football season, I will not do that. During the football season, I will not. Or Friday when I got to go on Pirate Radio. So there's a small window that I will wear a red shirt. And that all goes to the stupid ass Falcons. I hate them. All right. Let's jump into this. We've covered about everything, I think. I don't think we've missed anything. There's no reason to talk about anything until next week, except for this. Smitty's Hall of Honor video was amazing. It raised hairs. And you know what? We all giggled and grinned when they showed that ice up moment. He said this. He said, what do you think of what happened with him? He said, I don't know. Mug, I finished the game. Ice up, son. It's our moment, our homage to Steve Smith, the greatest offensive Panther until Cam Newton completes his career. I want to caveat that. But Steve Smith, he taught us something, and that is to tell motherfuckers, excuse my language, folks, women and children, kids, when they are out of line. And I think it's time to do that. What we're going to do right now is continue the longest segment of the C3 Panthers podcast, the Ice Up segment of the week. Cody, whose ice is the coldest tonight?
I have a pretty cold one.
Ooh, colder than me? Then I'm going first.
Say,
I'm,
yeah,
a chiller. I'm gonna put him on chill then. Chiller.
All right, I got you, fam.
All right, so my ice up pick of the week goes to, there's so many people. There are so many people that are worthy of being iced up. Man, you can ice up. I mean, I'm sure every person listening right now wants to ice up Michael Jordan and what the fucking Charlotte Hornets have gone through and done and terribleness, awfulness. There's so many things. I mean, I want to ice up Donald Trump for saying that we had airports in the colonial America.
Dude, I lose track of everything that he says.
Thank God that we got those strategic points where we got the airports. First of all, Trump, we didn't hold any strategic points in the war for independence. In fact, we lost the whole time until we won. But we didn't have no fucking airports. But the taste of the cake, the toast of the town, goes to this person, whoever is Taylor Lorenz at VidCon. You can find her on Twitter at Taylor Lorenz. That's TayLorLorenz. It's Taylor Lorenz. And she's tweeted this. Air conditioning is unhealthy, bad, miserable, and sexist. I can't explain how many times I've gotten sick over the summer because of overzealous AC in offices. So to you, whoever you are, Taylor Lorenz, I had no interaction with you until my man at Koontz, KOONCE. One of those might be a zero. You suck a mug. In fact, I promise you this. If you are straight, you don't suck a mug. Because you suck. That's what you do. Like, who the fuck calls out air conditioning? A. Number one, I live in North Carolina. I live in Greenville, North Carolina, where humidity on a daily basis eclipses 90%. So F you, air conditioning might be the greatest invention other than movable type and fucking electricity and the internet for mankind. The most monumental invention of mankind is arguably goddamn air conditioning. Tell me this. What city existed in the South prior to air conditioning? There were two motherfuckers, Charleston and Atlanta, and Sherman burnt Atlanta, and Charleston is a godforsaken swamp. The South sucks without air conditioning. Number one.
It does get hot as fuck.
Life sucks without air conditioning. It's a first fucking world problem, number one. Number two, being cold does not cause you to get sick, you shithead. Just being cold air does not make you sick. That's like saying fucking drinking
Shout
hot.
Out to Jeff Hodge, who just said that in the chat.
Hot air. Oh, is that nice? Thank you.
And no, but I got a pinpoint. Michael Wade says his AC yells out prejudice things.
Okay. This is great. That's great. My AC yells prejudice things. That's awesome. All right. That was a fucking great comment right there.
That was fantastic.
All right. On top of that, you know, and drop a historical knowledge on your assholes, is that this. People from the South used to go vacation in the summertime in Rhode Island because it was too damn hot. And guess what? Puritans, who they didn't drink, they didn't smoke, they didn't do a lot of things, but their asses were in the cold in Massachusetts, but they lived in the 1600s. The average life expectancy for a Puritan was 67, dude. You know what I'm saying? You're living in 1600. Yeah. Well, first, they didn't drink. They didn't smoke. Those are good things. They had families. They read the Bible. Those are probably all healthy things. But here's the real kicker is their assholes didn't live in fucking Norfolk where the mosquitoes would eat you fucking alive. Literally eat you alive. Right. So shut up, lady, with you don't get sick because of the cold. You're actually healthier in cold atmospheres. Number three, I think you got sick. Here it is, Cody. Are you ready for the comedy? Because you got thin skin. Shit.
Oh,
she's not cold because of the air conditioning. She's cold because her ass has thin skin. And shut the fuck up with this is feminist. Sorry, F-bomb again. Because of this.
We're so past saying sorry now. You might as well drop it every other word.
Look, I'm telling you this, Cody, this is like skinny people talking shit to fat people. Because I'm fat, and as soon as I started getting heavier and heavier in life, I started getting hotter.
Tony, so you're not fat. You're too hard on yourself. You're plump. It's different, brother.
But tell this biatch is that her ass is discriminating against plump people. She's saying it's sexist to have the AC low. Well, I say it's plumpest to fucking ask it to turn it up, assholes. So whoever you are, lady, Taylor Lorenz, don't follow her, and you suck. Air conditioning's amazing. I'm out. Ice up.
Ice up. Yeah, listen, man. there's a very important lesson that people need to know. Your favorite football players and basketball players and whatever you're into, they all hear you on Twitter. They hear the shit that you say, and they follow, and they comment as well. But every once in a while, someone of note will forget to log out of their burner account.
Oh.
And they'll really say some shit that, you know, they really shouldn't have said. So I'm going to show you guys a very recent example of this. This is Shade Patterson, the quarterback for the Michigan State or the Michigan Wolverines, put out. By the way, this is Shade Patterson. Forgot to log out of his account. Says Patterson is going to be the best quarterback in the conference. Fields hasn't played a snap yet. That kid's so overrated. Shit, Shea would have won the Heisman last season if Harbaugh had let him call the plays. Dude, how dumb!
Got you, motherfucker! You bitch ass.
Dumb,
see, how about this? This is where we need to tell people who think they're cool. Like, you look at this beautiful picture of this person and be like, they fucking suck, man. Little dick, motherfucker.
Oh, man. Dude, what? Listen, man. That's how you know that you care a little too much about what the public thinks about you. It's time for my man to take a note from Cam Newton and just be your best self every single day that ends with a Y. And quit being such a salty bitch. I stop Shea Patterson.
All right. Man, I'm telling you this is like, and my advice to my children and my advice to people listening to this podcast, like, if you have to try to be cool, you ain't.
No.
If you got to try to look good, you ain't. Like, I mean, here's what cool people do. Real cool cats. They just is. They just is. And sorry, son. Ice up. Damn.
Ice up.
What a bitch.
Yeah, what a
bitch. You know what? I mean, thank God for social media exposing this, though. We got to know you.
And you're talking shit about another quarterback. And your head coach. Literally the head coach of the fucking football team that you play.
Can for I transfer? Can I transfer? That's the next fucking. Can he put the papers in?
He already transferred. He went from Ole Miss to Michigan. So he ain't transferring nowhere.
Yeah. What a shithead. All right. You're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast. My name's Tony Dunn. You can follow me on Twitter at @cat_chronicles. Cody, where can they get after you, my friend?
At CODYLAC. Hit me up. I'll talk with you and bullshit with you about anything. Thank you. Also, real quick, shout out to Renard Hussey for the $3.50 super chat. Thank you so much for supporting, brother.
He also put tree fitty, which I read as free titties. That's what I read. I was like, damn, free titties. Bro, where are they at? Christian McCaffrey in the house.
Or $3.50 for some titties. Whatever. Listen, man, shout out Kendi, Underground West, Susan.
Thank you so much.
Algernon. Hey, we love you all, man. Thanks for tuning in every Tuesday night for sure.
All right, we're like 3 weekends away from some football, maybe.
Yeah,
it might be training camp really close. Training camp is like 2 weekends away. It's 3 weeks away. So we got you, bro. We got you, Panther fans. Don't worry. We're going to be just doing what you do, and that's following it here. From the fan perspective, we'll check you out next week, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Thank you for tuning in.
Peace and love, you sexy bitches. Keep pounding.
Get them. I got to figure out how to turn this shit off.
That'd be helpful.
One, two, and three. Subscribe to the C3 Carolina Panthers podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or anywhere you can catch an RSS feed. Check out CarolinaCatChronicles.com for the latest Panthers news and opinions from a fan perspective.
Great cash, homie.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.